gets colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my. Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. Today, my guest is Kevin Galilee, a Canadian human rights activist, author, and historian. Kevin is a top expert in the world on the UN's covert depopulation agenda and the various methods being used on a global level. I've posted many of Kevin's videos, articles, and interviews on my Facebook page for people interested in learning more about this issue. He is also the author of free downloadable books. One, A Future of Global Governance, and Peace Without Poison, and Killing Us Softly, Causes and Consequences of the Global Depopulation Policy. Kevin's most notable accomplishment was in 2012, when he exposed for the first time in the UN's 68-year history the chemical and biological methods employed by the UN-delegated Global Depopulation Policy and showed that demographic objectives are being carried out by covertly undermining human fertility as a substitute for war. The depopulation agenda is conducted through biological methods with GMO foods and pesticides, poisonous vaccines, and the man-made epidemics and pandemics, as well as with chemical methods that include endocrine disruptors such as fluoride and BPA plastics and the chemtrails being sprayed across the skies. Endocrine disruptors are effective at sterilizing, but they can also easily cause human extinction because they affect the entire body, not just the reproductive organs. The GMO foods and pesticides are killing and injuring U.S. citizens, and the U.S. is still trying to push them on the countries that have not allowed them. The intense chemtrail spraying and the mandatory vaccination programs in the U.S. are intended to stop population growth by raising the death rate to equal the birth rate to accomplish a 0% growth. Kevin tells people not to accept the vaccine under any circumstances. The increase in Alzheimer's and dementia in the elderly population in the U.S. is a direct result of chemtrail spraying and the poisonous vaccines and the pharmaceutical drugs. They are deliberately targeting the elderly to get rid of them. I need to stress that the biggest problem with stopping the depopulation policies in the U.S. is the resistance by the people to believe such an evil program exists and to accept the reality of what is being done to all of us. Part of the UN's depopulation agenda is supposed to be for peace preservation and to prevent wars of aggression, but that goal seems to have been eliminated by the U.S. The U.S. is committing blatant genocide in countries all over the world, including Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Libya, Syria, and countries all over Africa, with millions of people being slaughtered in plain sight or forced to become refugees trying to escape the U.S.-funded wars and violence. Now it appears the U.S. and NATO are trying to provoke a nuclear war, and the U.N. is doing nothing to stop them. U.S. politicians are allowing corrupt corporations to destroy our environment and the natural resources in the U.S. They are polluting our rivers and streams and leaving many people without drinking water in areas all over the country. The nearly seven decades of covert chemical and biological agents used to engineer global population decline has succeeded in preventing the birth of 2 billion children and causing the premature death of at least 500 million people. This socially engineered genocide is happening with the full knowledge and consent of religious authorities the world over, including the Catholic Church. During his recent hunger strike in Rome, Kevin challenged Pope Francis to bring the vow of silence regarding the global depopulation policy and to come to the people's defense by publicly condemning the covert methods of population control employed by the UN and governments around the world. He appeals to Pope Francis to speak the truth and deliver us from evil. I'll bring Kevin on now to explain how the depopulation measures were set up, as well as the reason behind them. I also want him to discuss his recent trip to Geneva to the World Health Organization and tell us what was accomplished. And I also want him to tell us about the Center of Global Consciousness he has set up and its purpose. So welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you for having me, Evelyn, and might I say, what an excellent introduction.
Well, thank you.
So let me start with Rome, and then I'll move on to Geneva.
Okay.
People may know that this year I've conducted two important actions. So the one in Rome, which was directed at the Vatican, and the one in Geneva, Switzerland, which was directed at the World Health Organization. In Rome, I demonstrated that the church is the moral anchor of the global depopulation genocide, which it makes possible by having given permission to secular authorities to sterilize the people while healing them of a disease. So this is the moral compromise that the church made in accepting and allowing governments to pursue population control through genocidal methods. It said, in a sense, you know, go ahead, sterilize the population, but if you're going to do all this evil, then you should do some good in the process. In other words, the church opened the gates of hell so that governments can commit genocide, and it is the church that keeps those gates open still, so that governments can complete the global genocide that they have started. My action in Rome was very successful in the sense that it compelled the church to change its doctrine in birth control. And now they are allowing governments to use contraceptives, which has been a barrier to pursuing population control through legislative means. Well, having accomplished that in Rome after 60 days of hunger, that was in April, May, and June. I took about 30 days to recover from the hunger strike, which I did in Bucharest, Romania, where I have family and a great support system. And then I flew to Geneva, Switzerland, to shut down the World Health Organization, which is the secular arm, if you want, of the international system that is based on covert depopulation and coerced globalization. And the role of the World Health Organization is crucial because they are the ones responsible for perverting medicine and public health to pursue population control objectives. In other words, international security prerogatives. And they're using medicine and public health as facades, as pretexts to hide their sterilization and their attack on not only on the reproductive system, but also on the immune system. So in Geneva, what I wanted to do was force the Swiss authorities to bring this program, which is extrajudicial, to bring it back within the rule of law. What I succeeded in doing so far is to demonstrate that the global depopulation program is extrajudicial. In other words, it is above and beyond the law and has the backing of every government on earth, that is all 193 nations that are UN member states and make up the so-called international community. All of which, I might add, are involved in one way or another in this global depopulation program. This means that there is no rule of law, but only its pretense. This international system is based on being able to suspend the rule of law while maintaining its illusion. But in reality, complete and utter lawlessness rules, which is why heads of state and government are so keen on hanging on to sovereign immunity, by the way, which is their legal carte blanche to commit any crime they want without being held accountable in a court of law. And I will talk about this sovereign immunity a little later because it is now being challenged. Well, lo and behold, in Geneva, they arrested me two times. They made a lot of mistakes, which I described in a couple of articles. By attempting to shut down the offices of the WHO, of the World Health Organization, I forced the Swiss authorities to arrest me so as to bring my case before a court of law and present evidence of genocide against the WHO. And on the 29th of July, the Swiss authorities, after the second arrest, issued a penalty order against me with the right to consent it within 10 days. with the right to appeal it within 10 days, and I did so on the 2nd of August. Well, we are now in October, and I have not received any response, not even an acknowledgement from the Swiss courts, which is obviously not only a breach of their own rules, but also of due process. And I'm not surprised by this, lawlessness, and yet another case or evidence of lawlessness when it comes to this extrajudicial program of population control. You see, the Swiss jurists know that if a judge accepts my rejection of the penalty order, I will have gained the opportunity to prove in a court of law that the WHO commits genocide, and that I am forced by the right to self-defense and the duty to rescue to stop the WHO from committing genocide. And they know they have no legal leg to stand on, and that the WHO and the Swiss authorities are guilty of genocide, guilty as charged. And that is why they did not even acknowledge, let alone respond to my rejection of the penalty order. So I proved beyond a reasonable doubt that there is no rule of law. Let me now talk about the Center of Global Consciousness, because this is the umbrella. This is the non-governmental organization that I have dedicated the most time of my time over the past 4 years, and its stated purpose is to eradicate all chemical, biological, psychosocial, and economic methods of population control used by the United Nations and governments around the world since 1945 to achieve these nasty, albeit necessary, demographic objectives of the global depopulation policy. But my NGO seeks to replace the current covert eugenic and genocidal methods of population control with overt legislation approved by voters' informed consent and passed through democratic processes. It is remarkable that, of course, none of the mainstream media mentions my name or my organization, despite its considerable achievements. And I'm going to take a couple of minutes to mention what the Center of Global Consciousness has accomplished over the past 4 years of its 5 years of its existence. First of all, we have shattered the walls of secrecy and deception that have veiled the global depopulation program. When I first discovered this back in May 2012 and published my first article and subsequently my first book on the subject, of course, I was immediately arrested. And that was not the first time, as I was already a rather well-known activist with respect to covert surveillance and censorship. But ever since 2012, when anyone who even mentioned the word depopulation would have been arrested immediately or silenced somehow.
Really?
We have now succeeded in completely changing the entire discourse online in the alternative media and in the in the social media as well. What else have we accomplished? We've provided incontestable scientific evidence of the use of covert chemical and biological methods of depopulation, which is no small task because the data has been hidden, and all kinds of misconceptions have been aired so as to deceive and confuse and confound people so that nobody ever comes to this forbidden knowledge. We have exposed and explained every hidden aspect of the covert depopulation and coerced globalization axis around which the world revolves since 1945. We have changed policy in at least 24 countries. We have discredited the UN system and the 189 governments that have cooperated in genocide. We have altered the public discourse and the relationship between people and governments. Now, anybody with their eyes open knows that governments and the UN system are lying through their teeth and why they're lying. And of course, it has come to a ridiculous disconnect between the what politicians and heads of state and government say And of course, what people believe, because the people don't believe anything anymore, nor should they. We have triggered a global reform of the chemical environment that will lead to the elimination of the depopulation of depopulation poisons. And we have forced the church to approve the use of contraceptives. We put the UN system and every government on earth on notice. Now, these are no small achievements. All in all, we have saved more lives than all old-time prophets combined and have given a future to 7.3 billion people whose future had been taken away in the name of geopolitics. And we have started changing the world before we even had a name. Well, I took the time to outline now briefly what we have accomplished in these past few years, because, of course, none of the media discuss these things, nor will they discuss these things. If they were to say these, that would be an admission that governments and the UN system have committed genocide since 1945. And of course, we would have mayhem on the street virtually overnight. But it has become clear to me that despite these considerable achievements, neither the vast majority of governments nor the UN system are truly willing to eliminate these endocrine disruptors you mentioned above, you mentioned before in the introduction, which are the, I call them depopulation poisons. Which are inserted in our food system, beverages, water, for the sake of either subverting fertility or promoting morbidity, so as to control life at both ends, from births and deaths. But you see, they're not quite ready, even though they have started this process of reforming the chemical environment and removing these endocrine disruptors, these depopulation poisons from the system. It is not a genuine effort. And it has become clear to me since I monitor their every move, and I know better than anyone on this earth how to read between the lines and how to second guess them and to preempt them. It has become very clear to me that they have absolutely no intention of stopping these covert chemical methods of depopulation until, at the very least, 2020. And they need them because they want to bring down the population of the Western, of the developed world to a so-called sustainable levels, which would mean about half of the existing population of the EU and North America, for example, which are in overshoot. That is to say, they have far more people than the landmass can sustain sustainably, and so they are continuing with these methods. They're stalling the process of removing these depopulation poisons from the system, despite now genuine and considerable effort on the parts of scientists and doctors and other people within government, within the organizations that are watchdogs, and also within civil society who are now awake due to my work. But they are spinning
right. Now,
their
the
wheels.
U.S. announced they're going to remove these, but they said they need a year to do it.
They are finding various excuses. They're removing, you know, minor endocrine disruptors from the system. But not all of them, and they're putting, you know, roadblocks in our way and in the way of scientists to first of all identify what is an endocrine disruptor. So they've set the bar so high that it is nearly impossible to prove that a particular substance is an endocrine disruptor, which is necessary in order for the government to then order industry to remove those from the system. It's clear that they are just stalling this effort because they need these chemical poisons for the reason I stated, to bring down the population of the developed world to sustainable levels, which would be about a reduction to half of the population that is now lives in those countries. Well, so there is a reform of the chemical regulatory environment underway in Europe, the US, Canada, China, South Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, really throughout the world, throughout the developed world and the BRIC nations, where you know the vast majority of these chemicals are produced. And various organizations are involved, such as the European Chemicals Agency, which is ECHA, which has a registration, evaluation, authorization, and restriction of chemicals program, which is called REACH. And you know, under this REACH program, they have identified already 300 endocrine disruptors. In other words, 300 depopulation poisons, and they have you know another 600 that are suspected depopulation poisons,
really?
And those are being looked at now. The same process is going on in the U.S. with America's Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, in Canada too, with the with Environment and Climate Change Canada, the ECCC, and also with Health Canada, and in every country with their own regulatory agencies. And there have been some accomplishments, you know, that are more than just cosmetic. For instance, the Danish government has announced an advisory limit on the use of perfluorinated chemicals, PFCs, in paper and cardboard food packaging, which is important because one of the main sources of inserting depopulation poisons in our food is through packaging and not necessarily
right.
through additives.
It's almost impossible to get away from this stuff. You know, I mean, I've turned my whole life around as far as eating and throwing out any plastic bowls and all any kind of coated cookware and everything. But like you said, like just the packaging of the food has the plastic on it. I mean, it's like you can't get around this.
It's interesting you should mention that because this is what I'm working on right now. I'm working on a guide. Guidelines for people who are members of Center of Global Consciousness on how to protect themselves, how to identify these poisons, where they are inserted, and how to bypass them, and so on. And it is indeed very, very difficult. Even though I'm trying to keep this guide very short, it will be by the time it's done in a couple of weeks, it will be 40 to 50 pages long, and it contains an absolute bare minimum information. And it covers everything. It covers food, water, cosmetics, medical treatments, mitigation methods of how to, you know, decontaminate from these substances that are bioaccumulative. So in other words, they have accumulated in the body over the years, and so on.
Right.
And this is it has come. I have come to the conclusion that this is necessary because, as I said, there is no genuine attempt on the part of governments and the UN system to remove these poisons for at least another 5 years. Of course, in the developing world, they're going to pursue this for another 20 or 30 years because they are 20 years behind us in terms of population control. So now there's those people with the knowledge on how to protect themselves and with the discipline to do so, because it requires tremendous discipline to purchase only that that is safe, that is depop free, as I have labeled, you know, safe foods, and how to mitigate for these depopulation methods and means. This is, it requires considerable knowledge and discipline, and I'm perhaps the only person on earth who has all of this knowledge, since I've published 10 books.
You're the only person I know that has it all,
yes.
all this knowledge.
And this is the first time that I'm doing it too. I've published 800 articles now on various aspects of this program, but I've never had the time, and I did not consider myself to have, you know, all of the answers until very recently. Now I really do believe that I can cover every aspect of the, you know, of the depopulationists. I know all of their methods and means, and I can put it all down on paper. But let me continue with the successes of this chemical reform that is undergoing now. ECHA, for
right.
instance, which is the European Chemicals Agency, which is at the forefront of this reform. And this is an organization that is genuinely attempting to save us from these depopulation poisons. And also the Danish EPA, which is the equivalent of the American EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. They have proposed a ban just this week on the sale in Europe of consumer products containing any of a group of four phthalates. Phthalates is a group of depopulation poisons which are toxic for reproduction and responsible for suppressing fetal androgen. That's another success story. France is, there are three countries in Europe really that have moved on my, urges, if you want, and threats. And that's France, Denmark, and Sweden. Their leaders truly are attempting to save their people, and are going, head to head now with the depopulationists in the European Commission, which is stacked full of depopulationists. So France has banned all BPA in packaging and bottling. It's the only country in the world that have done that so far. There are, certain regions in the world that have done it. For instance, the city of Hamburg in Germany has done that independently. But France has banned all bisphenols in packaging and bottling. It's the only country. Sweden, that's another success story. Another success story is Sweden going all organic in its agriculture. It is switching its entire agriculture to organic because they know
really?
It's just you cannot unless the food is safe. That's it. It's end game for their people. Now I'll discuss how badly the side effect, the consequences of this poisoning program are, because now the statistics are coming out. After I published Peace Without Poison, now statisticians and demographers throughout the world are finally getting it, and now they're doing the work that they should have been doing for the past 30 years.
Right.
Another success story is the FDA banning 19 depopulation poisons used in more than 2,000 products, or roughly 40% of the over-the-counter antibacterial soap market. And industry has been given 1 year to remove these poisons. Yet another success story is the United Nations Development Program releasing a list of 77 depopulation poisons that the chemical industry and the depopulation lobby does not want us to see. I made sure that I published that list so that everybody will see it. Of course, my document, which I will give to the members of the Center of Global Consciousness in a few weeks, will contain, a list, a comprehensive list of where these depopulation poisons are hidden so that people know how to avoid them. As you can imagine, this is considerable work that needs to be done.
I can't even imagine the work that went into that.
Yes.
Finding the hidden ones.
Great. And multidisciplinary, of course. Well, because the depopulation lobby is not only losing its methods and means of committing genocide, it is also losing sovereign immunity, which is the cover that has protected them from being made accountable for these crimes. Well, for those who do not know what sovereign immunity is, it is a legal doctrine by which the sovereign or the state cannot commit a legal wrong and is immune from civil suits or criminal prosecution. And this has been the cover under which they have pursued these geopolitical objectives. And of course, recently, Obama, the US Senate overruled Obama's veto of the 9/11 bill, which means the end of sovereign immunity for mass murderers, especially those in Saudi Arabia who were involved in the 9/11 incident. And this is the first time that the courts have are challenging, this sovereign immunity. And this is basically the beginning of the end for the coalition of genocide that has, for better or worse, protected us from, very nasty things, but it has gone completely out of control and are threatening now the very existence of 7.3 billion people, and they need to be stopped by any and all means. What else has happened that is truly remarkable? A landmark lawsuit has been launched at the Hague International Criminal Court, which is to decide if Monsanto has committed ecocide. This is big news, obviously, because it signals that the coalition responsible for the depopulation genocide no longer has the backing of the judiciary. You see, until now, the judiciary has stayed mute, deaf, and blind to all of these crimes committed for geopolitical reasons. But now they are no longer willing to remain deaf, mute, and blind because they know if they do remain, they will become complicit in genocide, and they themselves will be made responsible for this. And you can imagine we are in a state now. The world is in a state of where the rule of law has been suspended throughout the world, so that governments and the UN system can commit genocide en masse.
Right.
There is no example in our history that comes even close. This is the most dangerous situation ever, because there is absolutely no one, no authority to turn to for redress, for justice, and to put an end to what is, you know, the most horrible crime in human history, a crime that is now threatening the very existence of mankind. And it's once this all comes out, and it's now coming out, we're going to deal with the repercussions of this for the next 20 years, at least. Anyhow, the sovereign immunity is falling, and with it, the people responsible for this will be brought to justice. I don't expect that anybody will go to prison if this is done right. And this would be then the opportunity that I've tried to give, you know, for a smooth transition, to give to our heads of state and government for a smooth transition from covert population control methods to overt. Because if you don't succeed to have a soft landing and to transit from one to the other peacefully, then we are looking at mayhem and horror for the next 2 to 3 generations. We may never come out of it if we lose control now. But to give you now some data that has started to come out on just how horrible the consequences are of this mass, of this global poisoning program. Japan, we know, is in demographic collapse, and a very interesting article came out in the Washington Post, which is based in September, which is based on a 2011 report, which has been hidden so far from Japan's population center. And the numbers, the statistics that the Japanese government has been hiding since 2011 are just absolutely a complete nightmare. They're far worse than my most negative, you know, forecasts. And here they are: 27% of all Japanese men and 23% of all Japanese women are not interested in a romantic relationship. The sexual drive has been shattered to such an extent as to render people basically asexual. Here's another one. From ages 18 to 34, which are the prime reproductive age, 61% of men, Japanese men, and 49% of all Japanese women are not involved in a relationship. This is a society now, a country of singles. Even more horrible, once again, from ages 18 to 34, 36% of men, of all men, and 39% of all Japanese women have never had sex.
Really?
So obviously, with these kind of statistics, obviously the population of Japan is in free fall. It is a demographic collapse, the likes of which the world has never seen. And the country will not recover, because once the damage is done to the reproductive system to this extent, where people are turned asexual completely incapable and uninterested in sex, obviously there's nothing you can do. You cannot incentivize them with money for more money or tax breaks and so on to have children.
Right.
And experts now are talking about flight from human intimacy in Japan. A flight from human intimacy, this article refers to this. Here's some more statistics that are absolutely horrendous beyond belief. In April of 2016, so very recently, just a few months ago, a study called The Disappearing Sperm analysis of reports published between 1980 and 2015 appeared in the American Journal of Men's Health. This is a global study, which covers every continent. And this study confirms what I have been saying, you know, in several of my books, and especially in the last one, in the last big book that I have written, which is Peace Without Poison, confirms the decline in sperm quality that I have written about. And this study finds a 57% diminution in mean sperm concentration over the past 35 years on all continents. That is on all continents, every population on Earth, the entire 57% of the sperm quality has been sperm quality is lower by 57% on every continent on Earth, and that has been done. This damage has been done in just 35 years. At this rate, of course, once it damages the reproductive system, the damage is cumulative from one generation to the next. So we're going to see this now going from bad to worse. So at this rate, all men on Earth will be sterile in another 30 years. And mankind obviously will have disappeared off the face of the Earth a century from now. If we do not shut this down within the next 5 years, at the latest within the next 5 years, and as I have said, these maniacs in control of the world now are still trying to pursue to keep those depopulation poisons in the system for at least until 2020, if not 2024, in certain countries in the developed world. So the damage done by the global depopulation policy is far worse than even I have feared and have forecast. I was on Statistics Canada's website the other day researching something or other, and it's very interesting now that this appears now even on government websites. This is what it says, I quote now. Let's see. Your great-grandfather was one of seven children. Your grandmother was one of four children. And you are one of three children. You are thinking of having one or two kids. Or, if you happen to be a statistician, that's currently an average of 1.6 children per woman. Over the past 150 years, Canada has changed from a high-fertility society, where women had many children during their lives, to a low-fertility society, where women are having fewer children overall and at increasingly older ages. Despite some fluctuations, the total fertility rate in Canada has been below the replacement level for over 40 years. In fact, 1971 was the last year the replacement level fertility of 2.1 children per woman was reached, meaning that couples on average had produced enough children to replace themselves. End of the quote. Of course, this same situation is the same throughout the developed world. That is, throughout the countries that have used covert chemical and biological methods of depopulation. Now we're looking at a complete demographic collapse, because this generation has just entered their reproductive years. You know, we're talking the 16, 17, 18, 19 year olds, anywhere from 16 to 24 years old. They are sterile to the tune of 50%. Many of them are completely asexual, not interested in any sexual relations whatsoever, as we have seen from the Japanese statistics. It's the exact same thing throughout Europe, throughout Canada, the United States, and so on. But of course, nobody dares in our media to mention these statistics yet. They have dared, however, to mention Japan statistics. Indeed, Japan is about 5 to 10 years ahead of everybody else in terms of the damage done to their reproductive system, because Japan being a losing country during the Second World War, they were at the receiving end. As soon as the war ended, the Allied powers moved in there and immediately implemented population control methods and sterilized the population with fluoride pills, by the way. So they are indeed 5 to 10 years ahead of us. So it's worse there than anywhere else. But the exact same numbers are going to come out 5 years from now here in Europe and in North America. So we're going to see a complete population collapse over the next 20 years. And these people can no longer be rescued. Many of these genetic lineages have been shut down. There's nothing can do about it, nothing anybody can do about it. They cannot be recovered. Their genetic lineages will come to an end because they will not be able to produce children of their own. And they will, you know, they will live to the end of their lives, and probably chronically ill, most of them, because we cannot damage the reproductive system without damaging the entire endocrine system, which regulates every function in the human body. So this we're looking at a completely unprecedented situation that is going to grow from bad to worse. And of course, the level of anger will grow. The truth will, you know, slowly come out. People realize that we're all damaged in one way or another by the global depopulation policies. I have said we're all victims and beneficiaries because they, you know, for better or worse, the depopulationists have saved us from nuclear annihilation, mass starvation, and environmental devastation. But unless this program stops, and it stops now, there is really no hope for mankind. This is the end of it. So
yeah, that's the point I'm at. And I had Dane Wigginton on, the geoengineering chemtrail spraying expert, and we talk about that too. That if they don't stop it now, if we don't all get together and work on this now, and not only chemtrail spraying, but all the things you're talking about, that I don't think there's a long existence at all. And I'm wondering if it's because of all your work exposing all this, if in the United States they are turning up these methods to kill us. You know, for instance, the water. You know, I've been, you know, so upset about the fluoride in the water. Well, I filter it, you know, but it's not a good filter, so it's not that good. But anyhow, lately, that water, even after filtered, if it sits there for 15 minutes or half an hour, when I drink it, I can taste chemicals in it, you know. Mm. And it's like, it was horrible. And so I finally broke down and bought bottled water. And, of course, the bad thing about that, it's in plastic bottles. But anyhow, I don't taste any of them chemicals in there. And I'm wondering if in the United States, because they don't care, the people are all mind-controlled and not awake here, they don't even know what's going on, but if they have increased all these things to kill us, because they're going to be shut down.
Yes, they're trying to do as much damage now as they can because they know that's the end of the chemical methods. You know, they've been exposed, and now, you know, they have indeed, in the United States is one jurisdiction, not in most countries they've slowed down, but there, and I explained in my recent article, has Russia abandoned genocide, why the United States has increased their methods of population control. They know this is coming to an end, right? They're pushing the envelope now, and they're trying to, you know, get the best result, you know, from these methods while they last and they're not shut down, until they're shut down.
Well, and here too, you know how they're spraying more than ever now, and pushing these mandatory vaccines, and you know that we have double or triple the mandatory vaccines of any other country, and that's why we have the great autism epidemic, and of course that's worked great in this country because. If they're going to end up, they said by 2025, maybe one out of every two children will have autism. Well, that's great for depopulation because we're not going to reproduce. And plus, they feed the medical industrial complex in this country because, you know, they don't die. They live a long time, lots of them, but they're very sick. And so the medical industry makes all this money treating all these diseases they cause. Mm-hmm. You know, so in this country, it's horrible. And I try to tell people, I'm supposed to understand that people are mind controlled and they don't get this and stuff, but I'm getting to the point that I'm sick of hearing that I feel like telling them to knock it off, and especially these people that have kids and grandkids that I can't, you know, I'm getting so upset with my family and friends and things they come across as heartless and uncaring people. They don't even care about their own children and grandchildren. You know, I mean, if this generation is the last generation, unless they come out and fight now with us, they don't care about their kids or their grandkids. I mean, this is, to me, I'm getting to the point where these heartless people, including my family and friends, I'm getting thoroughly disgusted with them because I can't imagine people in my life being that heartless that they don't even care about their own kids or grandkids.
It's ignorance on the one hand, it's apathy on the other, and the third, also another big factor, is that they're too invested in the system to acknowledge, let alone admit that this is happening. Because if they admit that this is happening, you can imagine they have to admit that their entire lives have been invested into something that goes against their own best interests, and so all their effort has gone into, you know, shutting down their own genetic lineages. This is something that's very difficult to accept. And I understand your frustration, and it's the same break, you know, within my family, with my brothers and sisters, with exceptions here and there. Even when they do realize that I was right all along, you know, after having, treated me horribly, and they still are reluctant to come back, even with their tails between their legs, because it's very hard to say I'm sorry when the damage is done. Having sacrificed my life for the past 5 years, and everybody knows by now that I've been arrested 7 times offered millions, and that I've not seen my children in five and a half years. I don't even know if my children are alive. These criminals are still holding in place a restraining order, which is completely illegal and baseless, and, you know, without any justification whatsoever. Other than, you know, as a last straw for them to attempt to intimidate me into silence or force me into silence.
To blackmail you out of revealing all this.
Yes, of course, it hasn't worked. Now, you know.
But I want people to hear this. They offered you millions of dollars to quit revealing this.
Yeah, several times.
And you didn't take it.
No, I didn't take it. I said to them, well, let's say, you know, hypothetically, I accept the offer because I like money like everybody else, as much as everybody else. So can you guarantee me that nobody's going to walk into my children's school with a vaccine that has a dual purpose, like all vaccines have nowadays? There's not a vaccine out there that does not have a dual purpose, the common purpose being either to sterilize or to cause damage to the immune system, because that's how you control life from both ends. They said, no, we can't, because this program is global. It's everybody has to be affected by it. And I said, well, then, you know, take your millions and shove them where the sun don't shine, because I have no use for it. If I cannot protect my children, what good are all these millions to me? They're of no good whatsoever. So, but now, you know, when I speak, the world listens, and all our heads of state and government, irrespective of country, are hiding. They're hiding. Right. They're hiding with their heads in shame, because we caught them red-handed committing a genocide, and God knows what's going to happen, you know, when the turnaround comes, because there is going to be a turnaround, and there is going to be a big purge, and God knows how this is going to go, because it seems that these people are intent on hanging on to power. They don't want to move out of the way gently and honorably. They want to complete the genocide that has started. Now they are fomenting war. The U.S. and Russia, which are partners in genocide, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind. I've uncovered, you know, evidence now, documentary evidence in the form of these cables released by WikiLeaks from the Nixon era and the Kissinger era and the Ford era, and it shows clearly that the United States and Russia have been cooperating in this program of population control ever since 1945. You know, so they've been playing this game in the world, pretending that they're at odds, and in order to basically catch the world between a rock and a hard place, and force every country on earth to toe the line and to poison their own people for population control purposes, so as to preserve the world from a nuclear war, which is, you know, that's what this program was initially. It was the obverse side of nuclear deterrence. If you cannot pursue war to solve your resource problems, then, you know, what do you do? There's only one other solution. You control population growth. It's logical, obviously. And they did these horrible crimes because they had no choice. But I say they should have turned a leaf, should have gone out in the open towards the end of, well, when Russia, when the Soviet Union fell apart in 1991, that's when they should have done this. They should have come out and they should have passed a global replacement level fertility law. And by the way, China is the first country to have listened to my advice and has now passed a replacement level fertility law, which is 2 children per woman. They changed, you know, they changed their one-child policy to a 2-children policy, and that's one of the, you know, countries that have responded.
So is this your theory that do you think Putin's in cahoots with Obama and they're doing all this slaughtering?
Yes,
they're letting the U.S. slaughter all these citizens stuff, and Putin's in on it. And
they
say acid is in President Assad's in on it.
You see, they cannot bamboozle us into poisoning each other. They can no longer manipulate the institutions of state, the scientists, doctors, and so on to poison the population, to poison each other. So now they're going back to the original method, which was war. So, you know, they're fomenting this war, this completely phony conflict between Russia and the United States. In order to say, in other words, to all other world leaders, well, if you don't toe the line, you know, the bombs are going to start flying. This is their last attempt to finish the global genocide that they started in 1945, because this program of population control through mass poisoning is, as I have shown in several of my books, is the baby of the Allied powers. There's only 3 countries behind this from the very beginning. That's the United States, Russia, at that time the Soviet Union, and the United Kingdom. These are the 3 countries behind this program. From the very beginning, they have known everything. They have manipulated all the other countries. Little by little, they forced every country to become part of this coalition, this reluctant coalition. Because this program, as I have said, you know, again and again, is by mutual coercion, mutually agreed upon. Nobody wants to do it. Everybody's doing it because they're forced into it. And
Let me get this straight again. You really think Putin is in cahoots with Washington politicians? And I know that Washington's been slaughtering everybody all over the world for the last 15 years. I mean, right in plain sight. But in how many countries before that, in South America and stuff. But anyhow, that Putin and President Assad and all this are allowing the United States to slaughter their citizens and then we move to war with Russia, that's what they're projecting. Putin and President Assad are in on this?
I know for a fact, and I have proven it in the one article that I have written a few weeks ago.
So there's
called,
no hope.
Know, Russia abandoned
for
genocide.
The United States. There's no hope of stopping this slaughtering of people because all the other countries are allowing it. You mean President Assad is letting
this,
the U.S.
You know, politicians cannot stop this. Heads of state and government cannot stop this. And this can only be stopped by power people, the power of the people. And this is a time for us to exercise our power. And little by little, we are exercising. And I know how frustrated you are, and I'm just as frustrated, which is, you know, after 5 years of attempting to awaken the global population, even I had to throw my hands up in the air and say, you know, half of the population in the developed nations cannot be safe because the damage is already done. And their genetic lineages are coming to an end because they can no longer reproduce, one. Secondly, we cannot awaken them. These people are too invested in the system. They refuse to open their eyes. It's too painful for them to open their eyes and admit that they are, you know, working towards their own demise, and that their lives are completely meaningless because they are working towards not only their own demise, but towards their own children's demise. See, this is too painful a thing to accept. And most people don't want to accept this, so they're not accepting it. So therefore, we cannot save people who refuse to save themselves. That is impossible.
Right.
And so I've had to scale down my ambitions and say, okay, then I'm going to save as many people as I can save from among the people who are willing to do what it takes to save themselves, which is why I've opened the Center of Global Consciousness up for membership, but by invitation only, initially by invitation only. Eventually, members will be able to invite others from their own circle of friends, who are, you know, people who are willing to do what it takes to save themselves. But I have had to admit to myself that I cannot save 7.3 billion people, because the vast majority of these 7.3 billion people are not willing to do anything to save themselves. And under those circumstances, you know, not even God can save them, and not even God is saving them. But they have written themselves off, and they are not going to be around. Their genetic lineages have already been terminated. Half of those genetic lineages in the Western world have been terminated. It's done. It's finished. Just like you saw the statistics in Japan, which are completely and utterly horrible. So I will save those who want to save themselves. And the information that I'm publishing, that I'm working on now, you know, identifying these methods of depopulation and population poisons, where they're hidden and so on, which is very, very complex, very difficult. Just to give you an idea, you just mentioned the water. You know, you are probably filtering your water with either a carbon filter or a block filter, which is completely useless. You cannot remove fluoride from the water with any of these methods. And the vast majority of jurisdictions in the U.S. are fluoridated. So you can only remove fluoride with a triple reverse osmosis filter, which is very expensive to install, and waste a lot of water, because for every 1 gallon of water purified, 2 gallons are being thrown away.
We've run out of time already. Oh, you have so much information. I am so grateful you came on, and we had such a time lining this up today with you on the other side of the world.
You're getting that information.
I appreciate you coming on again, Kevin. Thank you so much. Well, everybody, I hope you learned some things today. I know I sure did. So I hope you tune in next week, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.